there was public support that you wanted, but then comes the financial support, because the full price for the acres was $15 million. And to raise that kind of money, you would have to also go out of state. So Tallgrass Prairie Preserve had to raise a third of that. Let's talk about the meeting to discuss. How in the world are we going to raise this kind of money?
Well, the Oklahoma Board of Trustees for the Nature Conservancy was hesitant to take on that kind of debt. And as Jink mentioned, this was the first landscape-level project that the Nature Conservancy bought that they intended to keep. They bought some other large tracts that they sold. 6 months after they bought the Barnard Ranch, they bought the Gray Ranch in the Boot Heel of New Mexico, 323,000 acres, $5,000 a day for interest, and it was eating their lunch. So you had major financial concerns within the organization. The Oklahoma chapter agreed to try to raise however many millions, and they wanted a commitment from John Sawhill, the Nature Conservancy president, that he would use his influence to raise the rest of the money nationally. And that's what happened. Oklahoma far surpassed their obligation of like $2 million or so. About $6 million of the $15 million was raised in Oklahoma, but the rest was raised nationally. Everything from large corporations to school kids doing fundraising projects and sending $25 or $50 or $100 with the most heartrending letter wanting to give their money to the Nature Conservancy for this preserve. In October of 1993, we reintroduced 300 bison onto 5,000 acres. One of the speakers at that event was Norman Schwarzkopf, just back from the Gulf War. One thing he said that struck me then, and I still remember, is this is truly a gift from the American people to the American people. And he was right on the money. That would not have happened without national support for this project.
Here in Oklahoma, you had strong corporate support, and I would imagine the Williams companies were obviously one of those. Can you name some others?
Well, the list is very long. Kerr McGee, Frank McPherson was the president of Kerr McGee. They donated two islands that were undeveloped off the coast of Georgia, Little Tybee, and I can't recall the second island. They sold those at a greatly reduced rate to the state of Georgia for parks. Undeveloped islands, very rare. $1.5 million of that money came to the Tallgrass Prairie Preserve. It was the first significant donation and really set the tone. The other corporations, the Williams companies gave heavily, Phillips Petroleum Company gave heavily, Conoco, before they were joined with Phillips, donated. Joe Williams gave a lot of his own money. Tolsons like Bob Lorton and Roxana Lorton, they gave very generously too. It was touching to see the broad support that we had.
So finally the $15 million was reached in the autumn of 1993.
It was an ordeal. We were trying to raise money when Oklahoma was in a very depressed economic state.
Speak of the endowment and how that was worked out.
Henry Little in the Nature Conservancy had a policy that 20% of every dollar would go into an endowment. It's hard to have the self-discipline when you're having tough economic times to make yourself adhere to that principle. But he did. And every dollar that came in, 20 cents went into an endowment. So the preserve is endowed, and we can only spend the interest income generated from that endowment. Had we not done that, we would have had really tough sledding.
Well, you would have had to be begging and pleading and banging your cup every year.
Right.
How big is the endowment?
Well, it varies with the stock market, basically, but right now it's 8 or 9 million.
So that generates what a year?
Well, we get 5%. We figure interest at 5%. So we get 5% of the endowment to spend each year. Plus, we have income from cattle grazing, and we have income from bison sales.
And donations.
And donations,
and
yeah.
Even a little bit from the gift shop.
That's right. We have enough money to fund the day-to-day operations. If we want to do anything special, like purchase in holdings, we have to raise the money for that.
Right.
Or to build housing for our staff. Everything we got was run down.
Good point here. Building then from scratch. Harvey, when you took over the original 29,000 acres of the former Barnard Ranch in late 1989, what was the condition?
Well, the condition was pretty bleak. The Barnard family had leased out the ranch. A tenant generally doesn't spend a lot of time or money maintaining improvements. We had a cowboy reunion in the spring of 1991, where we invited all the cowboys and cowgirls back that we could find that had ever worked there. The bunkhouse, which was the headquarters, was in such bad condition, they asked us if we were going to keep it or bulldoze it. It was that deplorable. We spent about $130,000. Chevron gave us $80,000. We spent about $130,000 renovating that. It took 14 months. We had to completely redo the roof. Anything with mortar in it had to be replaced. Some of the flooring had rotted out. The windows were out. It was deplorable. And the other housing on the preserve was worse. I mean, pack rats living in the houses. It was pretty basic. But one by one, we got things fixed.
But you wanted to restore them. I mean, it would have been easier to knock them down, but you wanted to restore history.
We did. And the visitor center was a vehicle shed where it had a wooden door that was designed to slide, but it wouldn't slide anymore. You couldn't even pull a pickup in there and shut the door.
Dirt floor, uneven.
It was deplorable. And that was probably the first building there. And with Jenks' family and other help, we restored that building at a much greater cost than it would have been to tear it down and rebuild it. But now it's our visitor center. And it's unique because it's such an historic building.
Cowboys working the land, you needed housing for them.
Yes, we did.
And what did you do about that?
We let them move in with the pack rats. It's about what it boiled down to. The housing was substandard by any definition. But, you know, cowboys are used to making do with what they have at their disposal. We had some pretty understanding employees and wives.
I might add that the bunkhouse is now on the National Registry of Historic Places. So that's very important. And the little associations, one day I was working there and an ex-cowboy came up and he told me, "You should have seen the poker games they played out on the veranda here. I don't think they were using chips. They were probably using oil leases."